This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiaoyik. Since the outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic, several private hospitals have begun offering COVID-19 tests for individuals who want to be tested but don't fall within the Ministry of Health's criteria. So to find out more about how private hospitals are offering these tests and also what else private hospitals are doing in this whole, you know, national fight against this pandemic, we have on the line with us Datuk Dr. Kuljit Singh, President of the Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia. How are you doing, Dr. Kuljit?
I'm fine. I'm fantastic. Things are getting busy, but we are coping along pretty well to fight this pandemic together.
Yes, and it is absolutely brilliant that private hospitals are coming in as well, because they offer the facilities and services that are so needed at this point. And so we'll just spend a little bit of time, Dr. Kuljit, looking at the testing part of things, because I think a lot of people are really interested in really the mechanics of it. How does it work? Where can they access it? What kind of costs are we looking at? And also then we'll look at other ways that private hospitals are contributing overall to the efforts to prevent and treat COVID-19. So let's start with the tests. First of all, why did private hospitals start to come in to offer these tests?
Okay, one of the main drive to bring the spread of COVID is testing. WHO has come up with this solution that one of the best way is to test as many people as you can accurately. Mm-hmm. And that is the best way to actually know exactly who has got the virus, who doesn't have the virus, so that we can actually contain it. Mm. So for that matter, we know the Ministry of Health will have just too many patients, too many people who may go to them for this testing, and it is almost impossible for the Ministry of Health to do this. So for that reason, the private hospitals have decided that they will get this test done at a very low cost. Mm-hmm. In order, they would also contribute to cover as many patients as they can. Mm. So that is the reason why almost every major hospital in the country, private hospital has embarked on this.
Mm. And are we looking at all over the country?
In the Klang Valley, I can say that most of the major big hospitals are doing it. And we also understand it is also been done in Penang, in Johor Bahru, and some of the smaller hospitals in the smaller towns have also picked up. Mm. And they have all started doing it. And in order to contain and to avoid unnecessary spread, most of them are doing it in a drive-in method. Mm. Meaning to say you don't need to leave your car. Mm-hmm. And the test is done through the car window, which is quite easy. Mm-hmm. But with an appointment. The reason being is we do not want a traffic congestion. Mm-hmm. Prior to the screening, because that will not be good either if too many cars.
Okay. So let's look at what kind of test is it. Is it the same test that the Ministry of Health is using?
Yes. The most accurate test is the polymerase chain reaction test called the PCR test, which is specific and it is almost 99.9% accurate. Mm-hmm. And these results are generally available within a day or maybe slightly more. Mm-hmm. But there are other non-specific tests that some are doing to screen the genes. That is another test that is done. Mm-hmm. But the one that is popularly done is the PCR test. That would be the best test that will give you a very good specificity.
Mm. So I guess, you know, you'd want to first check which type of test is being offered that you would potentially be getting.
Right.
Okay.
The best would be PCR, but they also have the other tests, which we will call it non-rapid, because there are rapid tests that are available which detect antibodies. Mm-hmm. But the issue of its accuracy is still not proven.
Mm-hmm.
Minister of Health is still looking at these rapid tests from South Korea and China.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the results are available in 15 minutes, but it is still really not specific, and we don't encourage these tests to be done, which is rapid. It's done within 10, 15 minutes, you get your results. These are not recommended.
Yes, our health DG has said that, you know, because they test for the presence of antibodies, right? And at the point of testing, you may not have developed those antibodies just yet.
Correct. Yeah, so we don't recommend that. And the best way the public would know is any test that is too soon, the results are given like 10, 15 minutes or within an hour.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a rapid test, and we don't encourage that. If there is a wait of one day, then you know that is actually the polymerase chain reaction test. That would be the best.
Okay. So for the private hospitals doing these tests, where are you sending the tests, the swabs to?
Okay. There are some private hospitals have their own labs that are able to do it. But by and large, there are 5 public health labs, which is by Ministry of Health.
Mm-hmm.
But Ministry of Health will do most of their own tests.
Mm-hmm.
There are about 18 Ministry of Health hospital labs are doing it. You also have some of the university hospitals are doing it. But there are 9 private laboratories which conduct this test.
Mm-hmm.
Pantai Premier Lab Link of KPJ, they do this test on their own.
Mm-hmm.
But there are private laboratories that the private hospitals are linked with, and they send it to them.
Okay. I mean, now what steps do you think you would need to take in order to mitigate if more and more tests are being done and you don't want even the private hospital testing to be swamped as well?
Well, in the private sector, because we are using an appointment system,
mm-hmm.
and based on the appointment system, you don't get swamped because X number of patients are allowed to come in at any given time.
Mm.
Of course, when the number increases, then we could increase the time of doing the test. But we have to also follow the MCO order that, you know, between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. is the time that there can be some movement.
Yep.
In order to do this test. So it just depends on the numbers that we get per day, and we move it on that. But we'll definitely try our best to cope, to do as many as we can.
Well, I mean, on average, how many tests can one hospital do? And of course, that depends on, I suppose, how big the hospital is.
It depends on the manpower, depends on how many stations that we can set, depends on the logistics of the particular hospital.
Mm.
If the hospital has got a huge compound, then, of course, more cars can be driven in. And some hospitals, maybe logistically, you can't have too many cars. We can't have cars lining up onto the public road and getting into the hospital that will get encroached into the police jurisdiction of not allowing cars lining up on the road. So it all depends. It all depends on the hospital.
Okay. So you talk about, you know, the most effective way would be a drive-through method. You wind down your car window. Maybe you can describe a little bit about what the process is.
Okay, most hospitals, before you arrive to the private hospital to do a test, you just can't get up in the morning and say, look here, I think today I'm going to do the test. It doesn't work that way. Most hospitals, you may need to do an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the appointment online, fill up a simple form online, and then the online system will give you the time and date that you can arrive at the hospital in your car.
Mm-hmm.
And once you reach the hospital, you need to verify yourself to show that you have an appointment. And then the test is conducted at the next stage. And then the third stage would be the payment.
Mm-hmm.
You do the payment. You can either pay online or probably give a credit card or whatever payment that you want at the third stage and you drive off.
Mm-hmm.
And most hospitals would probably send the results to you by email, because
mm-hmm.
there is a form where you can put your email. Now, should you be positive, then the hospital will probably actively inform you or call you,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll make arrangements and guide you what would be the next step if they detected you to be positive.
Mm.
And of course, if it's negative, then it's okay. You know, that should be fine then, you know.
Okay. Before we
so
go...
The steps are very, very simple. Sorry.
Yeah. So before we go into, you know, if it's positive or negative, so we're still at the... In fact, to take a few steps back, who needs to go for this test? Because if you were to go to a Ministry of Health facility, you have to fall within certain criteria. Is it the same for private hospital testing?
Okay. We are a little bit more liberal because at this point of time, we are trying to... test as many people as we can. If someone feels they have got symptoms, cough with some upper respiratory tract symptoms, with fever, or he believes that he or she had some contact with a COVID patient, or you just feel that you want to do it because somehow or other you feel that there is a possibility that you may be having symptoms which may be like COVID. Of course, I don't encourage that just because the test is available, let's just go and do a test. It's not so much that you're paying for it. We really do not want our resources to get depleted if you just come for the sake of doing a test. But we hope the public will be mindful enough that if you feel you fall into the category that you might be having COVID or you might be exposed to COVID, then please come. We don't send you away because you don't fall into the criteria. That's the whole reason is we want to screen as many as we can to help. We have some hospitals reported to us. They have picked COVID patients in this screening process. Maybe I cannot do the exact figures. Maybe after 400 or 500 patients sometimes, or maybe 1,000 patients, they have picked maybe one or two. So it is actually quite effective. And of course, statistically, you can see difference when you have more patients coming in to do the testing.
Of course. All right. We'll go for a quick break now. I'm speaking to Dr. Kuljit Singh, President of the Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia, who's taking us through the process of getting tested for COVID-19 at a private hospital. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about costs, you know, insurance coverage, and also, since you've already touched on it a little bit, what happens if you get a positive result? What happens if it's a negative result? And also, of course, what else private hospitals are doing in this fight against COVID-19. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living. I'm T. Xiaoyik. On the line with me, Dr. Kuljit Singh, President of the Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia. Now, we know that quite a number of major private hospitals, especially in Klang Valley, but also in many other parts of Malaysia, are offering testing for COVID-19. So in an effort to test more people and to help alleviate the burden of testing from the Ministry of Health, which is already, resources are stretched there, as we know. Let's talk about the cost of the test, Dr. Kuljit. And I know there's a sort of a range. So what should people expect?
All right. The test varies from different hospital and different region. Obviously, based on the overheads and many other consideration that is put into, most hospitals are trying their best to bring the price as low as possible, and so that they can make this COVID test as affordable as possible. So the ranges are about close to 400 ringgit, maybe to up, maybe to about 800 plus. That's the range. As I said, why the range is quite big because of the place that you're going to do the test. But having said that, many of them are bringing the price from 800 ringgit down to maybe 700 or 600 or maybe even to 500 ringgit to cover the bare minimum cost. We must remember that it is not the cost of doing the test that we send to the lab. The person that does the test will have to be in the attire, PPE, personal protection equipment. The personal protection equipment that the person is wearing to do the test has got a cost to it. And sometimes you need maybe two or three personnel manning it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there are times that you need to change the PPE after every test.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do not want cross-infection. We are testing on people that we do not know whether you're COVID-positive or COVID-negative.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to change the PPE and get another PPE. And then there's logistics also. So when you add on everything, there is a cost that needs to be covered. And this point of time, hospitals are not looking into making profits. They really want to help. So that's why the price range.
Mm, okay.
And the insurance companies have not made it very clear yet. So far, they said they can cover up to 300 ringgit, but they have not given us clear direction who will exactly can claim the 300 ringgit.
Mm.
But 300 ringgit is a little bit low.
Mm-hmm.
It does, most hospitals do not charge 300 ringgit because that's a bit below their cost.
Mm.
We are still negotiating with the insurance companies to cover their medical card holders, who can be covered, when can be covered, and whether the quantum can be increased.
Mm, yes, because one of the questions I had in mind was, would insurance only cover a one-time test? And if somebody were to require a follow-up test, what happens there?
Okay, the philosophy, the thinking in the insurance industry is that if you volunteer yourself to do a test, like driving in through, it's not covered. Insurance is not going to pay. They will only pay for patients who are inpatients or patients who have come with real symptoms that the doctor has diagnosed and doctor feels that this patient is a PUI.
Mm-hmm.
Patient under investigation for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the patients that the insurance can probably look into the fact of paying for that category of patients. But if you drive in, as I speak to you, I don't think that's covered. You cannot claim from the insurance and say, look, I drived in and I did this.
Mm.
Answering your question, first test, second test, I think once the first test is negative, I think we still need to negotiate and find out from the insurance industry whether the second test would be paid or not.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, if you're positive, then the entire game plan will change because some medical cards will cover you once you're positive, you're admitted, and all the costs will then be taken care of depending on the medical card that you have taken from the insurance company.
Actually, on that note, you know, for patients who test negative, and that's so far, it seems to be a majority, as you've indicated, how do we know whether they would need a repeat test within the two-week incubation period?
Well, the guidelines have changed a little bit here and there. What we were told that if you have negative tests and you do not have COVID, it is recommended to do another test after 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
But these were more of those patients which had high risk or had a history of exposure. It's basically for those patients that if it's negative now, the test back after 14 days and you're still negative, then you're negative.
Mm.
Provided you quarantine yourself, self-quarantine at home, or you got quarantine wherever, and that will apply in that instance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're walking, you're low risk, you really don't have any exposure, you want to just test out to clear your mind, then I'm not sure whether you need to do it after 14 days or not because you're not high risk.
Yeah.
For example, you are under MCO now for the last 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You are definitely not exposed, but you just want to do it for the sake of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're negative. Do you still have to do it after 14 days? Most likely you don't.
Actually, you know, how many tests have been done by the private hospitals to date?
We don't have the data as such. We are still compiling.
Mm-hmm.
Because some hospitals started about 2 weeks ago. The earliest, I think, was 2 weeks ago when the MCO started.
Mm-hmm.
Many hospitals are just starting this week and next week. They are beginning to test. So I don't have the figures, but I know they could do at the average of maybe 50 tests or even 100 tests a day.
Mm.
Some of the bigger ones could do it to about that much.
Mm, okay.
So I don't have the figures as we speak because they are slowly starting.
Mm.
Maybe given another 10 days, I will have a bit more data.
Mm, okay. But it does seem like quite if the take up, and you know, I've driven past some private hospitals and seen the long line of cars waiting out, so it does seem like the take up is quite high. What does it tell you about people's willingness, even if they may not be able to be covered by insurance, but they're willing to pay out of pocket to get tested?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of fear factor, thinking that, you know, the symptoms of COVID sometimes can be pretty mild and arbitrary. You get a little bit of running nose, a little bit of sore throat, maybe a little bit of fever, and then the fever goes off for a while, and then you keep reading literature or in the internet. People tend to get a little bit worried because it kind of matches quite similar to what a COVID patient has. So I guess that kind of triggers the thought, and then people are very free, you know, sitting at home doing nothing, and they think, okay, why not just get it tested so that I can stop worrying, you know. So I think that's what drives the public to come to hospitals to get themselves tested. Some of them indeed feel that probably they had an exposure, but they are not sure. So they're willing to come up to do that.
So just a little bit on what happens if the test result comes back positive. What's the process there?
Okay, in the current process, if you are detected positive, whether drive-in or you come to the hospital with symptoms, the process as we speak now would be that he or she will be referred to a government facility which conduct COVID treatment. So every part of the country, you have different private hospitals and probably even university hospital where these patients are sent to them, and they would then manage, the government facility will manage these COVID-positive patients.
Okay. And they have the process that's basically kick-started on that side, right? Are there concerns for private hospitals? You know, we've heard from the government side, public hospitals and even clinic kesehatans, they've had instances where people who did come in contact with other COVID patients did not disclose it and therefore exposed the staff to the risk of infection. Is there a concern for private hospitals as well?
Well, we are pretty concerned with that. And most private hospitals, we are now giving forms to the patients to sign to say that if you don't disclose, then there is a legality involved with it by not exposing. So many private hospitals are having these forms for patients to sign when they see a doctor for any other condition that I hereby declare that I have no symptoms or exposure to COVID. So that is kind of something which makes people are a little bit more careful in that sense. Of course, you can always say ignorant of the fact, but then if it's proven that there was an exposure and then you have not disclosed it, then we have got something in writing from them.
I see. So other than the testing, how else are private hospitals helping the Ministry of Health in tackling the COVID-19 outbreak?
Okay, the first thing that the private hospitals did about 2 weeks back is we gave out 68 or 69 ventilators to the Ministry of Health hospitals. We gave them on loan. And these ventilators are working ventilators from our hospitals. They are not ventilators that come from a country that you wouldn't know whether they are workable or how worthy they are. These are working ventilators which some extras that some private hospitals would keep, but they're working ventilators. And they could be in the tune of total 7 or 8 million ringgit worth of ventilators. They were not just from one hospital, from all different hospitals from all parts of the country. So that's the first step the private hospitals did. Now the second step is we have got 900 beds in private hospitals all over the country ready to take in non-COVID patients from Ministry of Health. Meaning to say, Ministry of Health can use their beds. They can increase the usage of their beds for COVID patients, and we are willing to take over their non-COVID patients sent to the private hospitals. on an agreed understanding, provided we know what the condition of these non-COVID patients are, and they are sent to us, and we will manage the non-COVID patients for them. That has already been discussed.
Okay, so it's ready. There has been no need to take up the offer just yet?
For the time being, as for yesterday, none of the private hospitals have mentioned to me that they had received any referral from the government hospital as yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we have spoken to them in detail that we are ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
If they need our help, we will take over their non-COVID patients on the referral.
Can I get some clarification when you say beds? Does that also mean the services that will be needed, say, a patient needing surgery?
Yes, that will be inclusive. If a patient has got a fracture and they have gone to a private government hospital and they can't do it because they don't have beds or they don't have the manpower to do it, they don't have staff because the staff are all deployed to COVID, we will take and then we will do whatever that's required. If they provide surgery, we need to do surgery. If they need imaging, we'll do imaging. Whatever treatment that is required, we will take that upon us. When I say take that upon us, they are willing to pay or buy the services from us at an agreed cost. They would be here, the government. We will not charge the patient.
Mm-hmm.
The government will then pay the private hospital on an agreed cost for each patient that it is sent to us. And this agreed cost, all private hospitals have agreed not to charge any profits to it. It is cost price. So if a piece of gauze costs X amount, what we buy from the vendor, we are only going to charge the government that price. So that it is a cost price bill to the government, because we do not want to tax the government further. If we were to charge our normal rates, I don't think so the government will have the money to pay us. And our intent is not to make profit out of these government patients that are referred to us.
Okay. Is there anything else?
Okay, we are also proposed to the public hospital that we are willing to provide healthcare workers to be deployed to their facilities in case their healthcare workers are exhausted treating the COVID patients. So we are happy, again, to send our healthcare workers to the non-COVID areas of their hospital so that their healthcare workers from their non-COVID can be deployed to the COVID area. So because our healthcare workers in private may not be that well trained to manage COVID at this point of time, so that we can relieve them from the exhaustion. We are willing. These are trained staff. These are staff that are currently working. I know Ministry of Health has got 2,000 over volunteers that have gone online. But those are going to be contracted. They're going to be working for them on contract. Ministry of Health will have to pay them something. And we are not sure what kind of expertise they have. They could be retired, maybe not working anymore, and things like that. But our proposal is these are real working staff that are in our hospitals who are actually quite free because we don't have much patients during this MCO. So we are willing to give them that kind of help. But up to today, we don't have a request yet. But when the request comes, we are ready to help them.
What about remuneration? At no cost?
At no cost. Because we are salarying our healthcare workers are already on a salary and they don't have much to do right now. And some of them are volunteering to go there to help. But these people are the ones who are working. They are in service with private sector. So there's an added advantage if they want to use us in comparison to their volunteers. They have to find out who their volunteers are.
Okay. So that's pro bono staffing.
We are happy to help the government hospitals in any other way that they are looking at. If they need equipment, they need beds, if they need anything that it is still lacking, which they're having difficulty to get it from overseas in particular, it is just a phone call away to our association, Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia. We will facilitate with them without any reason to worry. What they need, we will actually provide. That's not a problem.
You know, but on the note of, say, the staffing that you are, that private hospitals are, is offering would be pro bono, if there should be a situation where the Ministry of Health's resources are really severely strained, would private hospitals consider, even with the beds that they're offering, even perhaps with the testing, to offer those pro bono to the Ministry of Health?
Well, we will actually put up a charge and say that this was our cost. But of course, if the ministry or the government says that the cost is a little bit too high or they are not able to pay, I think most private hospitals will say, then it's fine, then we will just not charge you. I think that can be dealt with when the entire pandemic is over. They can sit across the table and they can discuss. And I don't think private hospitals are going to press very hard for the payment. If it cannot be paid because of financial constraints, I think most hospitals at the end of it will decide, okay, we will write it off. But having said that, the Ministry of Health and the government have said that they will pay something. They are not going to give it just for free. But definitely the private hospitals are willing to negotiate. And if their need arises, I'm sure they can just write it off.
Dr. Koojit, do you see this public-private partnership as foretelling a new way for Ministry of Health and the private sector to work together in the future?
Yeah, I think we can see for the first time that this relationship, public-private partnership relationship, is coming into reality right now. We have spoken about this for the last 10, 15 years, across the table, in conferences, in meetings. But honestly, nothing really materialized in a very constructive manner. There was some amount of buying of service that the public hospitals did from private at a very small scale. But today, I can see that we are really sitting and talking seriously, and it's going to happen. And I think we are happy that we are happy as private sector that we are given this opportunity to actually help. It's just for them to ask, and we are there to help them. And I hope this private partnership, this is not a great time to have an example, but at least in the future, it will be known that this thing actually can work out pretty seamlessly.
Do you have a final message for us, Dr. Koojit?
Well, I think the most important thing is this war against COVID, it has to be done collectively. Whether you're public, whether you're public hospital or private hospital, NGOs, I think we all are doing it together. This is not the time to look into nitty-gritties. It is basically going all out to say that let's fight it together. And we have to win this, because if we don't do this together, then we are not going to get anywhere and the virus is going to take us over. So I think... As much as I can say now, it seems to be all right, but we are afraid that the numbers may go very high in the next 1 or 2 weeks. We need to be prepared for that sudden surge, which has been estimated and forecasted by many. So we are just keeping ourselves prepared for the worst, because many experts have said the worst hasn't come yet.
Well, we'll end on that note, but also on the note of, you know, private hospital testing is available and is being made more accessible to the public. So I think the easiest way would be to contact your nearest private hospital, if you so wish, and find out how you can make an appointment and what would be the mechanics of doing the test.
Yes. I think that would be the best way. Not to travel so far, because we don't want people going 20, 30 kilometers nearby. We should have a hospital nearby who will very soon, almost every hospital will do it, hopefully.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Kuljit. I've been speaking to Dato' Dr. Kuljit Singh, President of the Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia, about COVID testing and other initiatives by private hospitals to combat COVID-19 outbreak. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.